Well, thank you to all who shared this morning already. Deeply inspired with what all we have heard. Brother Harvey, thank you for sharing a bit, and I would have been just fine just letting you take the main message. But thank you again to all. And also deeply appreciated the song of the month here. Would men know you've been with Jesus? We come together, kind of have a habit of coming together every Sunday. It's a good habit. But why do we do it? Do we really stop and think about it? It's to worship Him. It's to fellowship with each other. And it's to look at our standard. Jesus. Look at His life and bring our life to it. And see if we can bring our life closer to His so that men can know we've been with Jesus. And I want to ask the question, did men know you've been with Jesus this last week? Will men know you've been with Jesus tomorrow, this coming week? It's a good challenge for my heart. The passage I plan to look at and preach out of will be one that will go right down the alley of, if you live this way, men will know. If you don't, they won't. Because it will take His supernatural strength, the strength and gift of the Holy Spirit to live this out. Growing up on a small farm in central Pennsylvania, our main income was milking cows. There was a number of side incomes. One of the bigger side income was raising produce in the summer. And we raised quite a variety of vegetables, watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, and peppers, tomatoes, down the list. Had a roadside stand that we sold most of what we grew. And some of the overflow went to auctions and other wholesalers. But our biggest produce crop was cantaloupe. And I have many fond memories of there's a customer and run out barefoot and wait on the customer and sell him some cantaloupes and whatever else he'd like to have. One of the challenges with raising cantaloupe was if it was a good year for them, that meant everybody else that raised cantaloupe also had a good year. And guess what? There's only so many cantaloupe needed. If you didn't have a good year, but you ended up being decent, then those were the more profitable years. If everybody had a good year, then we sometimes just had loads of cantaloupe that nobody really wanted. Sometimes we'd load them up on a spring wagon, take them out in the pasture, and just roll them down over the hill and let the cows have them. Perfectly good cantaloupe. That was always kind of hard to do. You'd spend all summer long to raise this good produce, good food, and now you just dump them to the cows. Well, it was one of those times where we had plenty of cantaloupe and we weren't sure, is it worth hanging on to them or do we do this again, go treat the cows? We did make a big pile up against the shed. There was too much to just put out by the road, and it wasn't going to pay to take it to the sale. We weren't bringing enough. So we made a good-sized pile over against the shed where it would be in the shade a good part of the day. Shortly after lunch, a neighbor man comes by with his little boy, probably about my age, 10, 12 years old. And he was always a good customer whenever he showed up, especially if we had plenty of cantaloupe. He'd show up and get a whole bunch, and he would be one of our wholesalers. We'd give him a better deal, but he would load up a bunch of these cantaloupe and put them to good use. So I went out and met up with him. How many cantaloupe do you want? Sure, we have plenty. Let's back up right to this pile and we'll load you up. And he did just that. And I started happily picking up cantaloupe. He was helping. His boy was helping. Not sure if my dad was around, but there we were, happily loading up these cantaloupe. And the heat of the day had entered into some bumblebees that I didn't even know were there. And in the heat of the spirit, they came out and I was under attack. That was back in the day when one bumblebee sting was a big deal. Two was almost unimaginable. And the thought of getting more was just too much. And as I waved my arms and hollered and jumped up and down and tried to get away from them, the boy that had come, we'll call him Delbert, he thought a barefoot boy with one suspender and a straw hat doing a bumblebee dance was just quite hilarious. I didn't find it so. His humor was very short-lived because there were more bumblebees with more stingers. And very quickly his laughter changed to crying and hollering and terror. And that afternoon in that little meeting, the emotions that were all involved from start to finish was quite interesting. Start out with happy satisfaction and the hope of putting these good cantaloupe to a good use. The hope they had in taking these cantaloupe and reselling them at a profit. It was just a serene summer afternoon and a happy feeling, a feeling of we're doing something profitable. There is hope. Then there was shock on my part as those bumblebees come out and let themselves be known and felt. And the severe pain that I then was feeling and fear. And then again, amazement from my friend. Amazement at the kind of dance this little Amish boy could do. And somehow he just really thought this was quite the show. It was worth coming just for this. The humor, the spite in my own heart as he was laughing at my calamity, anger, and then shock on his part as he started experiencing the same thing I just had experienced. Terror, confusion, and then happy satisfaction in my own heart, again, as the pain I had experienced seemed to be eased by the reality that he who had laughed at me now was experiencing the same thing. This time, it wasn't a happy satisfaction of doing something profitable and helping and feeding people. Rather, it was, can we all identify with that feeling? He who didn't understand now understands. He who laughed at me got paid. He deserved it. Got what he needed. I want to bring special attention to that specific emotion, and the reason I felt it that day was because I was and still am a human being. And human nature tends to be that way. The thing of the satisfaction of getting even plus some is usually how it goes. Our main passage this morning will be in Matthew chapter 5. Invite you to turn there, Matthew chapter 5, and starting in verse 38. I've heard well-meaning believers make the comment that I don't want to hear about doctrine, I just want to hear about Jesus. Or doctrine divides, love brings together, let's just love each other. There's deep error in this kind of thinking. Doctrine simply means teaching. And the teaching of Jesus is life. He said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." And I'd like to lift it up in that way this morning. We're looking at a new and living way that Jesus came to give. The way that is salt, he said to his followers just previously in the same sermon, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world." In that day and age, salt was primarily known as a preservative. And I believe that's what was meant by "ye are salt." You that hear the words of Jesus and build your lives on it, you're salt. And you are preservative in society, in the world. And you're a light illuminating people's pathways, people's lives, illuminating the right way and the good way. Dropping in on verse 38 here, Jesus had just got done dealing with unfaithfulness in marriage and immorality, the thought life, dealing with that, dealing with true, deep-hearted honesty, and there not being a need to go beyond yes and no, simple communication, always speaking the truth. And then here he goes into the subject we're looking at this morning. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." So in Israel, in the old days, there was a law that made provision. If someone came and gouged your eye out, you could go back and gouge his eye out. If he took broke a tooth out of your mouth, you could go back and break a tooth out of his mouth. But this was probably more of a limitation rather than a license. Our nature is, if someone breaks a tooth out of mine, I'll go back and bang, five teeth. Or whatever he does, I'm going to take out more. We usually, in the flesh, we don't stop at what was done to us. Usually, in the flesh, we don't. You kill my chicken, I kill your dog. You kill my dog, I kill your cow. You kill my cow, and the list just goes on. Back and forth it goes. And next, it's going after human life. And things escalate into all-out war. So now we go from the limitation to a new and living way. Jesus said, "I say unto you, resist not evil." It's from this phrase that we get the word non-resistance. And the title for my message this morning is simply "The Doctrine of Non-Resistance." And as I looked into the subject, I feel like it's too big to cover in one message. I would like to, I've started out looking at more as not living a non-resistant life, as in non-military participation, not going to war, not taking people's lives. And I will touch on that some, but this morning I think I'll look at mostly as it being a way of life. Resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Smiting someone on the cheek certainly doesn't feel good, and I've never fully experienced it, but it tends to be in the line of an insult, an affront to somebody's character. You don't hit somebody on the cheek going after his life. This is speaking of being insulted. Turn to him, the other also. Give opportunity for a second insult, rather than firing back, rather than insulting in return. And again, when there's insults going back and forth, we usually don't stop at the same level that it came to us. We tend to give the same back and a little bit more. Well, you and the first person felt justified in what he said, and now you dump that much back on him unjustly in his mind, and he comes back with more. And the thing escalates. And families fall apart, and churches fall apart, and beautiful things fall apart, because people don't absorb insult. Jesus gives us that way. He offers that to us. He says, this is what I direct you in. Insult comes your way, an affront to your character, to who you are. Don't heap it back. Offer the other cheek. Jesus is giving a new way of life, a new rule of conduct, a mark that will be upon his followers, a voluntary thing, but voluntary only in the sense of if you will be his disciple. This is the way. You can't say, well, I'm a disciple of Jesus, but this isn't my personality. I'm not going here. Nobody's going to insult me. No. Jesus, if he's your king, this is the rule of conduct in his kingdom. Absorb personal grievances. Absorb personal insults. Many years ago, probably centuries ago, in central Pennsylvania, there were two tribes of Native Americans at each other, and the tension would keep mounting, and there was that underlying tension. And then one day, a little boy took a grasshopper from the other boy, and because tensions were as high as they were, maybe it wasn't even tribe between, at least in these people, there was tension. And then boys were scrappling over a grasshopper. And adults started getting involved, and before they knew it, they had what went down in history as the Grasshopper War. Somewhere in there, and these people probably hadn't heard these words, but they were insults, and it escalated. And eventually it turned into war. That's just one example of so many wars, so many fightings that could have been avoided by following the teaching of Jesus. Fighters have a hard time fighting if someone doesn't fight back. And it's a whole lot harder to insult somebody if they're not going to insult you back. Words of life, and words of grace. I try to live a life of being careful with my words, but I fail sometimes. And there are certain people that I'm going to be a lot more careful, because I have experienced how they always speak kindly and gently. And I know they won't insult me back. So I tend to be more careful. But Jesus' words is to always be that way. And I'm taking it this morning as a personal challenge. I look at this and I say, yes, Lord, I've often come so far short. And I want to live my life this way. Will men know I've been with Jesus? Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Here someone's taking advantage of you, perhaps, and even using the law to do it. I've never been dragged into court. Some of you may have. But again, can this be a way of life? Can we go out Monday morning to our jobs? Can we carry on our business, conduct our lives in such a way that we're somewhat vulnerable and we can be taken advantage of? We're not closing all the loops and making sure that if anybody gets taken advantage of, it's not me. Live life in a way that people know you as a trusting person and trustworthy person and will desire to trust you. And while this may end up working better for you anyway, that's not the main reason we're going to do it. Jesus said it. That settles it. I may have to suffer loss for it. I may have to give my life for it. But it's Jesus' words. And He's my King. And I'm not just going to say He's my King. I'm going to be His subject. And I'm His disciple. And I will live for Him. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Again, somewhat the same idea. My life is open. I'm open for service. I'm open for being taken advantage of. And I'm going to live that way. 1 Corinthians 6:7. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Matthew 5:25, just a little earlier in this chapter. Agree with an adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. As the people of God, can we be known by this mark, that we hold our assets loosely? We're not out to get everything we can and wring gold from human pain, as one author put it. Again, verse 41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. A mile in the Roman kingdom was 1,000 steps. And a soldier had the right at his whim to demand of anyone to walk with him for a mile. Here, carry my stuff. I need to go somewhere. Get this. Walk with me for a mile. And I imagine, since it was law, people had to do it. It was very, very normal that the person would probably do it with a grudge. And he'd walk along, he'd do it just as far as he had to, grudgingly. Maybe he wouldn't dare say anything unkind or nasty to the soldier, knowing he'd have to pay for it. Now Jesus is saying, do it 2 miles. And do it with a smile. And send the soldier on the way with a blessing. Can you imagine how many soldiers got converted into the kingdom of God by Jesus' disciples doing just this? Can we live that life? Something gets demanded. Do it with a smile. Do it with a blessing. Do it beyond what you have to. Can men know you've been with Jesus? Verse 42. Give to him that asks. God loves a cheerful giver. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And we can narrow these things down and say, well, okay, I'm going to have hospitality today. I'm going to invite some people over, and I'm not going to be grudging. I'm going to do it cheerfully. Good for you. But this is talking about so much more. Living our life in a giving way. Living our life blessing and encouraging. And what God has given me is not mine to hoard, but mine to give, mine to bless others. Now, in all these things, the natural person, the carnal person, the normal person, the normal human being will make excuses. If I did this, I'd soon be poor. I'd go to the poorhouse. I wouldn't have anything left over. People would just come and take advantage of me. I can't do that. Granted, there are checks and balances in place. There are other scriptures that must weigh into all these things. But we're a whole lot better at making excuses than we are at, by the grace of God, living these things out. And I'm not going to make any excuses for it today. I don't want to make excuses in my life. I want to say, yes, Lord, and take these words to heart. Is this way of life? That's the question. Is this life the way of life that Jesus has laid out? True non-resistance. If we're going to be a non-resistant people, it must be lived out in daily life. And if it's not lived out in daily life, it won't work for long on a military level. Now I'm going to move over into that a little bit. I'm going to just read on down here the rest of the chapter. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Loving, by God's grace, putting these words to practice will get people's attention. And the church has grown in very adverse situations many times through the centuries because his disciples lived these things out in the face of evil. When evil comes to you and looks you in the eyes, will men know you've been with Jesus? Are you able, by God's grace, to live these words out? I want to. Romans 12:17. I invite you to turn there. I'm going to read a bit there. Romans 12, starting in 17. And I'm just going to keep reading right to 13, verse 7. As you know, chapters and verses weren't original, and the break isn't original, the chapter break. So we're just going to read this, and I hope to at least whet your appetite to think about true non-resistance in the level of everyday life as well as in not participating in war. There are many wars in the world. There's wars being fought today. And it's easy to get caught up in the news and just watch it. And I've had to pull back a little, just realizing what it was doing to my heart and all that. But God gives us so much a better way. This is the answer. Violence in the face of violence won't fix anything. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I'd like to talk a little bit about the separation of church and state. We have both right here in the scriptures, the state and its powers, and how God has given to the government the right to rule with violence, rule with the sword, the right to take evil down by taking life. Israel had some of that as they were a nation, and there was no such thing as separation of church and state back then. They were given the sword to take down evil and to hold it back, and God still does that to the nations of the world today. But Jesus came along and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we have a choice. Follow the kingdom of the world, remain a part of it, stay in it, or come out and be in Jesus' kingdom. The idea of a Christian nation is both wrong and dangerous. A Christian nation, by necessity, must have a just war theory. And that's just what happened. The move away from the non-resistant life, which happened largely in the 4th century AD, was very possibly and probably, in my opinion, it was the worst compromise the church ever made. The theologian named Augustine came up with a very complex just war theory. And that just war theory is still around, alive and well today, and still gets promoted and believed in. Without this just war theory, many, many wars would never have been fought. The Crusades would never have happened. The American Civil War probably wouldn't have happened. World War I, World War II, if they would have occurred at all, probably in a much smaller way. The Holocaust probably never would have happened if Christians would have been true disciples of Jesus and would not have picked up the just war theory. Most certainly the Rwandan genocide happened in most of our lifetimes, back in the 1990s, about 800,000 people slaughtered there in Rwanda. In Rwanda, in the 1990s, about 90% of all people claimed to be Christian. And yet this genocide happened. The cost of disobeying Jesus while at the same time claiming to be his follower has been tremendous. When Christians no longer laid down their lives, but started taking lives rather, they were no longer salt or light. no longer obedient to their master. They were no longer building their lives on the solid rock. Now it looked good, just like a house built on sand can look so good. But when the storms of life come, it goes down. Jesus said very clearly that's what happens if we hear his words but don't build on them. A testimony, a writing of one named Hilary back in 400 A.D. He said, "The church now terrifieth with threats of exile and dungeon. And she who of old gained converts in spite of exile and dungeon now brings men in by way of compulsion. She who was propagated by hunted priests now hunts priests in her turn. This must be said in comparison with the church that was handed down to us, but which now we have lost. The facts are in men's eyes, and they cry out loud." But praise the Lord, there has been a faithful remnant down through the ages, and today we can choose. We must choose. Will we be that faithful remnant that picks up the sword of the Lord, the word of God, and lives it out by God's strength, and in spite of evil, in spite of opposition, do these things that Jesus taught? Andre Berceau recently did a 5-part study on World War I, and if you have the time to listen to it, I would recommend it. Just so much in there that very stirring. He goes through a lot of just what happened leading up to the war and how America at first took a neutral stand, and how gradually the tide sway had turned and propaganda started coming out in favor of taking up arms. The German Kaiser was portrayed as more demon than human. And those kinds of things just happen in every war. Propaganda gets used. People's minds shift. Fear takes place. And men are made to believe that they have to take up arms. Let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, living out the words of Jesus is much more powerful in the face of evil than retaliation. Much more powerful than taking up arms and going after lives. The testimony of Jesus will be salt and will be preserving much more. Will do much more good. I hope the message is clear on the front of no participation in war. I would welcome someone to do a perhaps a more scholarly presentation, message here on why we don't go to war and all those things. I'm not touching on it enough to justify it, but I did want to say a bit there at least. The main challenge for today is our everyday lives to take up the Jesus way. And when I say taking it up, I'm not looking at people that I feel like haven't taken it up. I hope you understand that. Just a presentation of the words of Jesus. And I know we want to walk in them. I am being stirred myself to more of a simple, practical, down-to-earth obedience to King Jesus, living the kingdom life day to day. What are the steps to overcome that human tendency of retaliation and self-defense? Number one, simply recognizing it. Recognize that deep inside our hearts, we tend to not believe the best of others. Rather, we tend to believe others are out to get us. And that when people hurt us or say something mean, that they really meant it for our harm. We tend to think that way much quicker than what people really do. Learn to believe in others. There was a wise mother, had two sons that just continually were mean with each other, just at each other day after day, just saying mean stuff all the time. the mother, rather than pulling her hair out, she sought for wisdom, and she brought two little tablets to each of her sons and said, "Here, from here on, every time you say something mean, you're going to write it down." And immediately both of them wanted to write down what the other had said. And the mother said, "No, no, no. The only thing you're going to write down is the mean stuff you said." And very quickly, they stopped being mean. It helped. It worked. When they stopped, had to quit thinking about everything mean that the other one was saying, and really look into their own hearts. What am I saying? What am I doing? I'm just going to take responsibility for my actions. And if I say something mean, I'm going to have to write it down. And it stopped. Recognize our own sinful tendency. Take it to the one who showed us a better way, the Lord Jesus. Surrender it to Him. He will cleanse you from that. He will wash your sins away. He will give you a new life. He will give you the power to do the things He has taught you. Jesus doesn't require anything that He doesn't also have the ability to give you the power to do it. So you find yourself failing time and time again. The true source of strength will only be found in Christ. Take your struggles, take your sins, take your shortcomings to Jesus. Cry out for power. Cry out for victory. He will give it to you. And number three, resolve that you will obey King Jesus. Quit making excuses. There are so many excuses out there. People will say, "Oh no, I can't do that. I can't. I have to defend myself." There was a believer, at least professing believer. Our society is saturated with people that profess Christianity but refuse to obey Jesus. And there was this man that he had sent his son off to school, and he thought his son had left, but his son tricked him and instead went to the basement rather than getting on the bus. And then he started shuffling around and making noises in the basement. This man was not taught in the way of non-resistance. At least he wasn't living it. I don't know much about him. I just know that he thought there was probably a robber in the basement. He went down. His son spooked him, and it was just that quick. The man's reactions, because he had a gun, he took his life and realized too late it was his son. Had Christians never compromised on non-resistance, what would have happened? A different set of people would have been killed over the centuries. Instead of so many so-called holy wars, there may have been more martyrdoms. May have been. We don't know. A different set, and much smaller set of people, would have lost their lives to violence. This smaller set would have been prepared to meet Jesus and spend all eternity with Him. Their testimonies would have saved many more to the living way of Jesus. There would be no crusades for unbelievers to point to and say, "Aha, look what Christians have done." Rather, the testimony of Christians would be, they follow their King. That can be our testimony. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Many have done just this. Will we be in those ranks? In a world of hate, will you lovingly lay down your life for the good of others? In a world of insult, will you absorb those directed at you and bring it to a stop? In a world fighting for personal rights, will you be one that allows himself to be vulnerable? In a demanding world, will you be a cheerful giver? "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If that's your desire, if that's your testimony, if that's who you want to be going forward, I invite you to stand to your feet and have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the new and living way. Thank you for the way that is salt in preserving society, preserving humanity, preserving churches and families. Thank you for the way that is light, the way that illuminates, that overcomes darkness. Thank you for the power that you give to your disciples to not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount that you preached on that mountain so many years ago, and the way it speaks to us, reveals our sinful human nature. Lord, speak to each person that's here this morning. I pray that all of us can take this simple message, and in the face of evil as we go on through life, that men could see with been with Jesus. On a personal level, would you speak to each one? Would you give power? Would you lead to glory? Would you let each life be built on that solid rock, that when the storms of life come, the winds blow, the floods come, that these dear people can withstand those floods, can stand strong and true, and be faithful, enduring unto the end. We commit ourselves to you. We worship you as the great I Am. We confess you as Lord, as King, as Savior, and pray that you would, by your mercy, guide each one of us. Let us all come to the fullness of faith, the assurance of salvation, and just present our lives to you day by day. You are the author, and you are the finisher. And we just submit ourselves to you. Pray that you would glorify yourself in us mightily throughout these days. We pray for believers around the world that are facing adversity to much greater degrees than what we are. Would you be near to them? Would you help them to see the light continually and to remain the salt of the earth, even if it means giving up their lives? Father, strengthen your people everywhere. Help us to identify with all true believers. Be faithful and true all the way to the end. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. God bless you. I want to fight with you and walk this way with you.
Well, I can only think of the words of my grandfather after a morning like this. We have been richly fed here today. Thank you, Brother Ephraim, for sharing that message. That was sound doctrine and so very good for us to consider. And I'm just amazed at the personal call of God in our lives. And, you know, if anybody doubts that the Holy Spirit actually lines things up for a service like this today, I think to look at our service in retrospect should remove that doubt. I'm amazed at the song of the month. And, you know, when Steve asked if somebody has a song you'd like to sing, I had another one on the tip of my tongue. But he got there before I did. And I'm really grateful. I knew that song well. It's hard for me to believe that many of you did not. But the way God already is bringing that, the message of that hymn home to our hearts through the things that were shared here today, there's only one source of that. Can I open my heart to that? Can I hear the voice of God in my heart as He speaks to me? And truly the things that our brother shared with us are the way of Jesus. I had to think of the words that Brother Dean Taylor has said many times. When it comes down to this real walk with God, meet me at the red letters. Understand the mandate of Jesus in a personal way in my life and yours, and what it means for our everyday lives, and live that way. And you know, there's no culture where that is not understood. There's no language where that does not communicate. People understand it. Why? Because it's the way of the kingdom of love Jesus came to bring. And I appreciated Brother Ephraim going to Romans 13 there too. That was really good. And considering the contrast of the kingdoms. And I'd like to maybe just add this to that. I think Jesus laid this out so clearly. And we have these words in John chapter 18 when Jesus was standing before Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Jesus, are you the king of the Jews?" And of course, the Jews were looking for someone to come and deliver them from the bondage of the Romans, right? They were looking for somebody to lead them into essentially military conquest to get rid of these problems that they had in their lives that came from the oppression of the Romans. And Jesus said, well, he asked Pilate a question. "Do you say this thing of yourself, or did others tell it to you that I am the king of the Jews?" And Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? Am I one of your people? I have no part in this. They've delivered you to me. What have you done?" And then Jesus said these words. Listen to them. They're powerful words. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and indeed we could be free of the oppression of the Romans, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And we could go on in the words that Jesus spoke there, but those are powerful words and they come home to your heart and mine. Am I willing to live for the kingdom of Jesus, which is a kingdom of love and a kingdom of peace? And then I come back to the second verse of our theme song, or song of the month, "Would men know by word and action in the small things of this life, in the daily round of duty, in the midst of toil and strife?" And those questions were laid out so well for us this morning with the practical challenges of life. Jesus came to make that difference. Jesus came to show us how to live for Him and be a reflection of His love. Many years ago, I think it was about 1992 or 3, and I was on a trip with Brother Francis from Ghana, Africa, across the U.S. visiting a number of churches, and he was speaking, and we got to Muddy Pond, Tennessee. I knew a few people there. Brother Leonard Gunther was there at that time. Had a few friends, but I didn't know most of them. And as I interacted with that congregation there that night, there was something that amazed me and I never forgot. They were in Tennessee, of course, and Tennessee is a little bit more backwoodsish. Was then for sure, maybe still is, I don't know. But one of the things that they had culturally in their area were these family feuds that went on for generations. And sometimes they rose to the level of blood. And it was exactly what Ephraim was describing, where always they would do one thing worse to the other family. And there was two families sitting in that audience there that night that I got to know that were two of those families on opposite sides of these multi-generational feud. And they described the things that used to go on between them as they did always one thing worse to the other. And the hate, deep-seated hate. And then they testified of the freedom that they found as they repented of that hatred and brought it to Jesus and were able to come together in a congregation and love each other and put arms around each other where once there was only a burning desire to get even. That night I saw the love of Jesus and I saw what it can do and I never forgot. And I believe that's real in our lives. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul. And you will see it was best for him to have his way with thee. Can we all together agree to let him have his way in our lives? And I know he will bless us. Maybe some of you have some thoughts you'd like to share too. I could give you that opportunity. Brother Yuri.
First of all, I want to say thank you for the message. And before I forget, I wanted to give a hearty thanks for the meals that some of you have so graciously provided. May God reward you for your efforts. They are very welcome, and we appreciate them. I just have so many things to say in response to the message, and to thank you, Brother Ephraim, for sharing that. And some of us hear stories of people losing their way in different areas, things that have been held for centuries. And we wonder, how in the world can that happen? Like, isn't it obvious that if you reject this belief, that this and this is going to happen? And like, we wonder sometimes. I know I wonder. Like, we read about the Hutterite Chronicles and see the different things that happened with the history of that people and how God was working. And then how they left the blank pages at the end of their history book for those to follow. And those pages have remained blank. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, how in the world could that have happened? I feel that all of us can have, with some of the things I want to share, some of us can get a little glimpse of how those deeply held beliefs that have to do with Brother Ephraim, what Brother Ephraim was sharing about, how they can be kind of walked away from. Mm-hmm. And to give some context, I want to say that I grew up in a home in which non-resistance was a strongly held teaching. If anybody wants to confirm that, just come talk to my dad. Right? I see all the obligatory smiles. Right? That's what I grew up with. So that's the context. And then I remember when 9/11 happened and the world changed forever. Those of you that lived through that and were old enough to remember probably remember exactly what you were doing the moment you heard the news of the attack on the Twin Towers. I remember going to my grandmother's funeral shortly after that and being sniffed by dogs right before boarding the flight. That's never happened before. And then shortly after, America invaded Afghanistan. Now, who remembers one of the big reasons that the invasion happened? Finish this phrase. Weapons of mass destruction. Yes, weapons of mass destruction that, as some later would say, turned out to be weapons of mass disappearance because they were never found. But I just remember that fervor of patriotism and how Mayor John F. Street was the mayor of Philadelphia at that time. And I just remember listening to him and oh, just the psalms and the prayers and just the scripture that came out of his mouth. How George W. Bush was just saying, as we read in Psalm 23, such and such and such. And like how everybody got religion. And then people that were around that time, do you remember what happened to the churches that Sunday? Like in our area, at least, everything was full as possible to the brim. Everybody got religion for exactly 1 week.
Yes.
And then 2014, something else happened. Maybe not so many people remember, but this is when Ukraine was first invaded. And I found something that I was, as I would read the news, I found myself rejoicing with any gains by the Ukrainian armed forces and outright fury when I heard that the separatist forces, or the, who we all knew was the Russian army, made gains. And a memory that sticks out in my mind at that time is not making a corner and hitting my shoulder on something. And I later found a bruise in that spot. And it was a very interesting bruise, because we all know what colors a bruise can be in, right? It can range from purple to blue to yellow and everything in between. Well, what do you know? This bruise that I got was blue on top and yellow on the bottom. And I felt a surge of what can be described as pride, in that the Ukrainian blood in me can't help but bruise in the colors of the Ukrainian flag. And I say all that to say that there was something inside of me that I didn't even know was there that needed to be what? Needed to be crucified.
Yep.
That pride, that patriotism, that didn't come from Christ. Now fast forward to 2022. What happened 705 days ago or so? Mm-hmm. Ukraine was invaded again. This time it wasn't like the region that was, oh, we all know this, it's mostly Russians living there. This was the area that I was born to. And again, I felt these surges come up, these things that I thought I had crucified, but here they go again. And I found myself rejoicing at any gains, rejoicing at any time a Russian tank was blown up and its turret would fly high into the air, like a lollipop, as they became to be known to call. And whenever the drones that were manufactured in Turkey, when they would destroy a column of the invaders, same thing. I found myself rejoicing in that. Found again and again that that's something that needs to be crucified. However, this time in 2022, I noticed a difference. Because this was now more of a direct war, people that weren't really fazed by the attack in 2014, I saw these same feelings that I had, I saw them start cropping up in others. Those that were close to me. Much closer than who I knew from 2014. And it really saddens me. Mm-hmm. And right now, some of those that are close to me are discussing questions as if it's okay to donate vehicles to the Ukrainian military, which by extension means giving the government opportunity to lay mines when commanded. And it saddens me. And what this tells me is what we can learn from it is don't be so surprised and look back at the Anabaptists that have lost their way or the true Christians that have lost their way over the years and wonder how could they lose this? How could they just become what they became? How could those that fled persecution to be able to practice their faith openly, those that fled into Holland and stayed around, later we see portraits of them by famous painters, which shows that they integrated into the society. And if you go there today, you're not going to find that fire, that passion for serving Christ. You're not going to find that passion of what their forefathers experienced, or you'll find very little of it. So, I know this has been a little bit long, but I hope that from this we can extract a lesson that it is not all that difficult to lose beliefs or begin toying with the idea of losing beliefs that were just so prevalent 35 years ago, which is how old I am. So thank you again, Brother Ephraim, for sharing this very necessary topic. And let's not let the leaven of Herod come and make inroads into our life, or else we will become what we don't want to become.
That's right. Thank you, Yuri. I think that was very good, very well said, as practical applications. And isn't a secret, Brother Ephraim, in our personal lives, when we're clinging to things that are mine, my rights, my feelings, my whatever, and when I'm violated, I want to protect the right to protect that. And then by extension, you know, that flows into what Yuri was talking about at a national level. And I couldn't agree more that Christian nationalism, which I think is what you were describing, is not of the kingdom of God. And yet, all of our feelings of righteous justification, and that's where just war comes from, can feel so right when we're opposing the aggressor and the enemy. And I think it's very possible for many of us who have no ties to Ukraine to feel those same feelings and take that same pleasure when Ukraine seems to score whatever small win and Russia seems to score a loss. But it's the same spirit. And I appreciate that challenge very much.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.